Christ is risen. He's risen indeed. Hallelujah. All of these only Son of God, the Almighty Lord of all creatures, who has never been guilty of any sin. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 1, and 1 Peter 2, verses 22 and 23, says that he, for his own person, did not suffer. that I love paragraph 8 coming up here. Because there's one that you want to be just going to get really trapped. It's been a little abstract here for what I've been asked. It's going to get real practical. And it's going to take us back to Jesus. And take us back to Jesus. And it's going to take us back to God. Because it's not true. So 18, therefore, whoever can learn, let them learn. Thank you. poor sinners. I already worked in St. Peter. And I love this one. I especially have done that above others. Already bad enough. Are you going to call him a liar too when he wants to be nice to you? When he wants to show with his love to you? When he wants to pour out his forgiveness upon you? And he's also going to, on top of your own sins, make Jesus into you. By the way, this comforting sermon is not for Jesus. It's not for Jesus' sermon. It's referring to his servant. Rejected, trampled underfoot, God and all my salvation and blessedness. Therefore, I know very well that I am an unworthy man, worthy to be the devil's brother, not Christ's. But now, Christ has set the time as the one for whom he died and rose again, as well as poor St. Peter, who was a sinner like me, and his brother. And in all sincerity, he wants me to please him with any doubt. He does not want me to consider the things he told me that he am unworthy. He himself does not consider or remember, as he justly could do. He has sufficient cause to take revenge and punish his disciples for what they have merited from him. Rather, everything is forgotten. Thank you. the Luther is using those verses to talk about how, I mean, Jesus could have easily justified, you know, accepting revenge upon the disciples and turning away from them and entire community, all of that stuff. And yet, all of that's forgotten. All of that is not about. And then Jesus goes on and he could do that. Covered, buried. Now, he can say nothing about them. Delightful and good. He greets them and speaks to them as constantly as with his faithful dearest friends. He treats as if they had done nothing wrong and not troubled the water, but had done everything to free, so that they have no worry and care in their hearts. He would correct them and approach them with respect. Now, we probably all you've all been in a situation of one or two where you did something you shouldn't have done. You don't know what that next interaction is going to be like with that person. Somebody says you can't avoid their terrible part of your life, so you're going to have to see them, you have to interact with them, you have to talk to them. You know you've done something, you know that they're probably going to be to love my dear Lord from my heart, that He is so gracious and merciful. Even though I'm a burden to sins, still, to burden himself with new sins, not let what he has forgotten, what he capitally is, what Jesus has forgotten, he certainly will be sitting in a way that can no longer be forgotten or be helped. He sits in the heat and speaks about those who fell into sin by falling away from his word, falling in bondage. This is called Against the Holy Spirit, which means holding the Son of God up to contempt, trampling him underfoot, and professing the Spirit of Christ. And God preserves from this all who are Christians. Unfortunately, there is too much of the former blindness and folly that we have previously interpreted. Not now be gone and forgotten, since we have to make this place. We can't believe as strongly as we are, we should be terrified of children to suck up a little spoonful of this milk. It's not at all pushed away from us until we get this from our children. At least go back to the basics. In discipleship, which is always the same, the progression we get stronger in our faith, we learn more, we understand the scriptures more throughout our lives. It doesn't mean that someone who's been a disciple of Christ for 50 years is somehow more saved than a person who's converted on their deathbed. That's not what it means, but the Holy Spirit is this, we call it sanctification. We grow more holy throughout our lives. We grow more in our faith, in our discipleship. If there's one of you even at a certain point, you're going to recognize this. Yes, Christ makes you his brother, and you're not worthy of it, and it's not fair, and that's essentially what the gospel is, and it's like not fair, not treating the way that you deserve. You're going to eventually get to that point in your discipleship where you understand that you can think that. If you're not there yet, at least receive this. Like you're a little infant in the faith having milk for your baby. At least that much. Don't push this away from you. But receive it as a gift you receive. So you want to really understand it, but it's just that the baby's eating this thing. Whispers in your ear, that's the moment where other movie from 2003. The night before he goes to present the politics, the they have a whole sequence in the movie. And all night long, in the play, will not accept that this must be a villain this creates. Even the brother of the devil himself, very unworthy, certainly, and even if I would believe that God is worthy, that I should give him the honor and regard him to be the truthful one. But if I would not believe, you would hear all of these things. By regarding him to be a liar, and of course, let's know what greater wickedness and blasphemy can be heard or spoken of. All right, first commandment, you shall not be other gods. So, in what way is this idolatry? You, first one, is seeing God's promise. First commandment is I'm making myself into God. I'm saying I place myself over what God is committed to be true in His word. And that's a big problem. Some people just call it God, that's why this is the first commandment. But much rather, when you feel that it is too hard for you to believe, you need to fall on your knees. Of your inability to say with the apostles, O Lord, increase our faith. That's Luke 17, verse 1. I will gladly from my heart regard you to be my heart's dear Father and Christ to be my brother, but my flesh unfortunately will not follow. Therefore, help my unbelief. Hit us with some real hard law. The last few days, all of a sudden you're seeing that thing about the like the eyes coming from the place to be this thing. But to read, see the law does the law fits, and then the gospel makes the law. So to do their sales, okay, so you've heard that for the seriousness of this. But now, if I'm struggling, Lord, how am I going to do this? So it's not the end of the book for you. In this way, paragraph 25, in this way you will find from your own experience what a difficult struggle it is to believe these words and agree with the Father. But these words are in themselves not certain, firm, and strong enough. But they really are so weak, hopeless. It's in such a hopelessly unstable condition. It's like working here. We cannot hold when we were led astray and deceived, And moreover, attracts and entices us in the kindest way. Dear friend, accept me as your brother. You cannot prevail on us to believe and accept him. So very much to the flesh and the devil themselves. So just be a little sarcastic. Have you heard any problem before when you were all testing drinks and you see you didn't have to stop there? In the 16th century, who had just come out of that whole way of living as Christians, they would have been especially strong. All right, we've got a break there, and so it's almost 9:15, so I think that's where we're going to stop for a minute. I'm going to ask you if you would completely wrap this. Of your great grace and your promises, your mercy. Remind us of